from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Do 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 do.
Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And you guys, I got a couple things that I want to take care of before I introduce Dr. Alvin Stein. If you're a constant listener, then you know all about Dr. Al Stein, and you're waiting with bated breath to hear all the great stuff. But before we get to that, first let me mention my great thank yous to Hydramay Skin Nutrition. Thank you so much for being a sponsor of this show, and also to our silent sponsors and friends and, you know, people that have helped to make this show what it is throughout the years. Thank you all. And also, I would really appreciate it if everybody listening would please say a prayer for Leona, Dr. Stein's wife, who has had all kinds of difficulties with being in the hospital with what should have been easy surgery and should have been out weeks ago. And like happens to so many of us that are in the health industry, things don't go too simply. And there's been one thing after another. And so if you guys would please just offer up a quick prayer for her so that she can get well enough to get out of the hospital quickly. And so her name is Leona, and let's just do that real quick and just send just some love and some healing energy to her right now to heal her back and to heal any infections and any reactions to medications that have happened and things like that. Thank you, guys. And if you would do that again tonight before you go to sleep, I'd appreciate that. So now, let's get on to the show, and we have Dr. Alvin Stein, MD, on again. He's been on once before, talking about some really interesting things with toxins, and welcome to the show, Dr. Stein.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be back with you.
Yeah, it's fun. We always have fun talking about all this stuff. And you know what I didn't mention the last time, although I did put it up on the show information, is your 2008 Lifetime Achievement Award. And I think that that's pretty incredible. So I wanted the listeners to know that you actually got that this year, and if you talk about that award a little bit and why they granted you such a prestigious honor, that would be kind of cool.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm humbled by it. It's a group of my peers, obviously, the American Association of Orthopedic Medicine. I've spent my entire medical career in orthopedic surgery, and as a board-certified orthopedic surgeon doing all sorts of orthopedic surgery for roughly 35 years, I got sick myself in 1994 and had to stop doing surgery in 1995 after an automobile accident in which I broke my neck and an airbag hit me in the head and broke my neck and my hand got broken with the airbag blowing off my steering wheel. And I never went back to the operating room, and I was very fortunate because the year before I got involved with Dietrich Klinghart because I had gotten sick with mercury toxicity from a dental filling.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, I wound up looking for another home, and I started doing prolotherapy, which I had learned to do somewhat from Dietrich Klinghart, but the American Association of Orthopedic Medicine, an organization that does a lot to teach the area of prolotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're advocates for prolotherapy. And I found myself very much at home with them. And I attended all their meetings. I'm not a shy guy, as you got to know me.
I'll see.
And I got involved with the organization. I have what amounts to 50 years in the practice of medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing you learn if you've been around 50 years and you've been observant, you learn a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to share your knowledge with others, and I guess whatever I was doing rubbed off. And I got recognized by my peers in the organization, and they really humbled me by that award. They give out one of those awards every year. They've been doing it now, I think, since 2000 or 2001. And I was selected to receive the 2008 award, and quite a moving experience.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I know that you teach over at the osteopathic college also.
I'm on the faculty over there, that's correct.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, that kind of recognition is so important, and it makes me really happy because as a naturopathic physician, I am always ecstatic when somebody who's an MD or a DO goes the way that you've gone and works so hard and so long at helping people to be free of the normal narcotics and antibiotics and all that stuff and really teaches them how to work with their body. So you definitely have you know, my vote for a Lifetime Achievement Award just for that. So I'm glad
that
they recognized you.
I appreciate that. I really do.
Well, it's so important to everyone's health, you know, so thank you for what you've done. And I know that you've faced a lot of ridicule and a lot of, you know, blind and deaf fellow physicians that, that haven't wanted to know about this stuff. And thank God for your perseverance. So
I'm a big boy, as you know, and I, not much they can tell me that I want. If I've made my mind up, it's because I've really done some serious studying on a subject. And
yeah.
If they don't study it and they don't look at it and they don't want to come around to the understanding, there's no way I'm going to make that happen. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people like that. I had a patient in my office, so I spent 2.5 hours, believe it or not, with him. And he walked out. He said he didn't believe anything I said. So fine. Goodbye. Meanwhile, in the 2.5 hours, we did some autonomic response testing on him. He's a retired dentist.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. who every joint in his body has been broken down, just about.
Mm.
He had five arteries bypassed in his heart 2.5 months ago.
Man.
And he doesn't understand that he's sick. He thinks he's fine because he had five arteries bypassed. And unfortunately, people don't understand that the arteries that are in your heart amount to about 2 feet of blood vessels
mm-hmm.
in the body, where there's 60,000 miles of blood vessels.
Mm-hmm.
And if the surgeon bypassed 2 feet of blood vessels, or maybe maximum 3 feet of blood vessels, taking into account every vessel you have in your heart, what happened to the other thousands of miles? They have the same disease.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that they should be cleaned out also?
Well, you know, that makes sense to me.
People don't want to see that.
I know, and I'll tell you, you know, in my own practice, I have been able to create miraculous healings with people by taking that into consideration and, you know, reversed what's considered to be chronic, long-standing stuff that is irreversible, and it reverses within 6 months usually. And they feel
absolutely.
Better.
Absolutely. I've had patients come into me who've had completely occluded arteries in the legs. Doppler examination shows there are no pulses.
Wow.
We put them on detox chelating agents, and 2 months later we got Doppler. We got palpable. Now we don't even have Doppler. We have palpable pulses in the lower extremities.
Mm.
And you know, when you first see it the first time, you say, what? When you see it the second or third time, you say, well, I expected it.
uh-huh.
But you know that you can do it, you know, because you've seen it.
Yep, I know what you mean.
I had a patient in my office who had, there's a patient with diabetes,
mm-hmm.
who lost one leg below the knee and had trouble healing the wound below the knee and trouble with an ulcer in the front of the knee on the leg that was amputated. But the reason they brought the patient into me was because his daughter saw that he started with gangrenous areas on the other leg.
Mm-hmm.
And the fear was that there's going to be two legs off. Well, mm-hmm. we started with this patient with our chelating to try to clean out some stuff out of the vessels.
Mm-hmm.
We injected all of his wounds with local anesthetic,
mm-hmm.
injecting the wound edges, injecting the depths of the wound. And lo and behold, each time we did that, we got more blood supply back. We were able to debride out the dead stuff, and new tissue grew in. And within 2 months, all of the wounds that were gangrenous or not going to heal had all healed. Had all healed.
Amazing.
And the man had no pain in his legs. We restored the blood supply.
And, you know, if more people knew about that, there'd be less amputations.
Well, you don't know when, you know, when by the time, obviously, you got to start somewhere.
Right.
But sometimes the first warning is the fact that the leg is beyond salvage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the unfortunate things, but when you see it happening, when you know that the patient is a diabetic, when you know that the patient has vascular disease that's incipient, if you just wait until it gets so bad that you can't do anything about it because it's small vessel disease that you have to amputate, and you don't think about the doing of the detoxification, of removing the toxins out of the vessels, of cleaning the vessels, cleaning the body,
mm-hmm.
you'll never get there.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen plenty of it, you know, since I was in the hospital for the maximum portion of my career. And, you know, I've seen things done to people that I thought were just nothing short of butchery, especially when you know how the body works and how easy it is to clean this kind of stuff out, really, you know, if you can get to it in time. And sometimes even when you think you can't, you just never know. You just got to give it a try.
Well, you have to try. Obviously, you're not going to have every one of them get better.
Right.
But there's enough of them that do that makes it worthwhile.
Absolutely. You know, it's always worth a chance. Like I always tell people, you know what, you can always go get the surgery later if you really need to. But if you get the surgery now, and you find out later that you could have done without it, how would you feel?
Well, that's the other side of the coin, obviously.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you got to give it a try. But, you know, this month, what I'd like to do is, you know, last month was Brain Month. So we had, you know, some real interesting stuff on about that. And I'd kind of like to continue with the neurotransmitter line as it relates to how we eat. And you had a joke that I thought was pretty cute. And so if you would tell that joke, that'd be great. Let's start off with what eating improperly has.
Well, the man goes into the doctor's office and he's got a banana stuck out of one of his ears. He's got a carrot stuck in one nose and he's got a cucumber in his other ear. The man said, "Doc, this is terrible. What's wrong with me?" And the doctor says, "Well, first of all, you're not eating right."
And we need a drum roll. Bum, bump.
So, obviously, you got to find a way to eat the right way. But
yeah.
The whole point that you talk about neurotransmitters and how that is evolving with the whole food issue, so many of the foods that we eat are basically poisonous.
Mm-hmm.
The concept of neurotransmitters, I think first what we have to do is define neurotransmitters for people to understand what that term is. Neurotransmitters are chemical substances that are released by our nerves at the nerve endings in the junction boxes that allow the transmission of nerve impulses and the function of the body to be carried out, passing the message to the next nerve. Going down the line, the body releases something like serotonin or something like dopamine or perhaps acetylcholine or one of 183 other known neurotransmitters. And those neurotransmitters are released specifically to go ahead and carry out a nerve function. The nerve doesn't actually work. We think it works by electricity, but it's not truly electricity. It's by the releasing of this chemical.
Mm-hmm.
But the point of the matter is, if a nerve has the need to pass, let's use a term, 100 units of this neurotransmitter comes into one end of the nerve, we have to be able to get 100 units of the neurotransmitter out at the other end of the nerve for that nerve to actually work the right way.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if the nerve trunk, is damaged? And 50% of that nerve trunk is destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
You can only get 50 units of the nerve chemical coming out the other end because only half of it's coming down the line.
Makes sense.
The one thing about nerves is that we can increase the amount of the precursor for that neurotransmitter in the body. And we'll talk about precursors in a few minutes. But you can increase the precursor so that you're building it. Let's say you had 100 to start with. You can build it up to 200 so that when 50% comes out of the other end of the nerve, it's back to 100, which is what you wanted to start with. And you've eliminated the brownout. And the body's able to function.
Simple enough.
If it was 100 in and only 50 out, the body's operating at a brownout. You don't have enough electricity to function. So the body can't do its job the right way.
Yeah, and how would people know that that kind of thing is happening? What are some of the symptoms that they might have?
All right. Neurotransmitter deficiency diseases include obesity. I'll go into obesity a little bit more in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Parkinson's disease is a classical neurotransmitter deficiency disease. Anxiety, depression, panic attacks, premenstrual syndrome and postmenopausal symptoms,
mm-hmm.
insomnia, fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue, hormonal imbalances, obsessive compulsive behavior or attitude, attention deficit disorder, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, irritable bowel syndrome, restless leg syndrome. All of these things are definitive symptoms that a person has that are manifestations of low neurotransmitters in the body or some way of the body not delivering the proper level of neurotransmitters. Now, we don't know if it's too low or whether the amount of neurotransmitters you have are absolutely perfect. We don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do know is that your body is not getting enough of the neurotransmitters to the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go ahead and you treat these people by restoring the levels of neurotransmitters in the body up to what we call the functional balanced level, phase three urine, therapeutic phase three levels in the urine, all of those diseases, the symptoms of those diseases disappear. So are those diseases truly diseases, or are those diseases symptoms
mm-hmm.
of neurotransmitter deficiency?
See, now
and I maintain that those are symptoms of neurotransmitter deficiency.
Yeah, and they just call them different names because of the parts that they affect, kind of like arthritis.
We call them different names for different reasons. First of all, one of the reasons that we have so many different diseases is because standard medicine treats symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a group of symptoms, you label the group of symptoms as a disease.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, the insurance companies pay the physicians on the basis of the diseases that are being treated.
Mm-hmm.
If a patient goes into the hospital and has heart disease of certain types, there's a fixed fee for that. If they go in and they have Crohn's disease, they have a fixed fee for that. If they're treated for depression, there's another fee for that. And so the insurance companies separate all of these things, probably because that's the way they all arose, and all of the doctors think about this in a way that they're all separate diseases. And we
mm-hmm.
treat the symptoms because that's the way medicine has been. We're always treating symptoms rather than treating the cause of the disease. My philosophy
yeah.
is the following. If I treat causes, I can eliminate the disease.
Mm-hmm.
If I treat symptoms, I will continue to treat symptoms because the disease remains.
Exactly. And that's something the naturopathic medicine has been pointing out for a long time. And, you know, one of the things that I've told people when they said nobody knew what they had and they're going to the Mayo Clinic to find it out, I said, well, it's going to cost you about $15,000 to $25,000, and they're going to give you a really long name. You're going to have to write it down because you won't remember it. And if you translate the Latin, you're going to find out they're just describing where they found the disease. And I've had so many people say to me, oh, they wouldn't do that. I tell them, well,
that's exactly,
okay.
You're 100% right. I mean,
yeah,
you are 100%
exactly what's
right.
Yep, every time they come back with this long name, and I sit down
read,
and I translate the Latin, and they go, oh, my God, they did it.
Yeah, read a chiropractor's report,
mm-hmm.
and it says that the patient has cephalalgia. Cephalalgia?
Mm-hmm.
What is cephalalgia? Oh, you mean he has a headache? Cephalalgia is headache.
Mm-hmm.
So we give fancy names for describing where the problem is. When somebody comes into me and I say to them, well, what's wrong with you? They give me, the doctor says I have migraine headaches. I said, I didn't ask you what the doctor said. I said, what do you have?
Yeah,
I would
different.
Like to know what your symptoms are, not what the doctor told you. Well, the doctor told me I have migraine headaches. I said, I didn't ask you that. I said, I would like to know what you are complaining about. Well, I have a pain in my head. Well, what kind of a pain is it? Is it constant? Is it throbbing? Is it burning? Do you have flashes in your eyes? Do you not have flashes in your eyes? Does it stay on one side of the head? Is it over all the top of the head? Does it come out of your neck? Does it come from the top of your head? How does it come? Where does it come? What time of the month does it come?
Yeah, not only that, what else comes with it?
And what else comes with it? And
yeah.
when you put all of these things together and you answer the question the way it's supposed to be answered, then you can start arriving at conditions. So let's give you a little, for instance, because I told you this before we got on the show, that I had a very interesting case. come into my office last Tuesday. This particular mother was referred to me because a physician had tried to put the patient on the neurotransmitter amino acid program, and it wasn't working for that patient. Seemingly, they couldn't get the patient balanced, so it was referred to me to help them. But here's the story. We have a 15-year-old boy comes walking into the office, and here's the history. When he was 8 years old, he fell on the floor in the house in grand mal seizure, grand mal convulsion.
Mm-hmm.
He was virtually out. He was taken to a children's hospital in Miami. He was in a hospital for 2 weeks. They said he had a swollen brain. Spinal taps were done. They made no definitive diagnosis.
Hmm.
Ultimately, within a year, to my understanding, he had a craniotomy.
Ooh.
Because he had a swollen brain.
Hmm.
So now we have a boy who had a craniotomy, a swollen brain, seizure disorders. He has an average of 2 seizures or more every single day.
Oh, my gosh.
He was taking all sorts of seizure medications, none of which was working regularly to stop the seizures.
Mm-hmm.
And the present medicine was gabapentin. And that wasn't doing much of a job either.
Mm-hmm.
I said to the mother, I had spoken to her on the phone, but I said to the mother, I said, I want you to understand that I personally do not feel that any condition occurs in a vacuum. It did not occur just because it decided to occur.
Mm-hmm.
There has to have been something that started this off.
Exactly.
All right. So what was it? It could be, well, it's a viral meningitis or viral encephalitis. I said, what caused the child to have such a situation with a virus? If you have that, my feelings are that the person's immunity is shot.
Mm-hmm.
So what created an area in the head or in a body in which such immunity was shot that you're going to get a viral encephalitis or a viral meningitis?
Mm-hmm.
More than that, I believe that the patient is toxic, because 95% of all human disease starts with toxins in the body.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of that, mother accepted my premise. We did autonomic response testing on the patient, which is a form of kinesiology or muscle testing.
Mm-hmm.
For those of the patients who don't understand it, sometimes the chiropractors talk about it as being kinesiology. We think of kinesiology as motion testing, but where they find a strong muscle and the strong muscle gets weak, if they challenge the patient with, in their case, usually some food or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've learned how to do this testing on a very much more upscale level. And what we do is we do it under open regulation, and it's called autonomic response testing.
Mm-hmm.
We can find, and what we're reading is the body's autonomic nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
The autonomic nervous system in the body is the regulatory system in the body that, and it's also, it's like the body's hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
Using computer analogy, and everything that's gone on in the body can be read out of that autonomic nervous system if you know how to read it. And we read it by looking, finding a strong muscle that will go weak or come back to strong, weak to strong or strong to weak, in response to questions which are phrased as yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
On this boy, I found toxic heavy metals in the left side of his brain.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't find anything anywhere else in his body. But I found toxic heavy metals in the left side of his brain, 7 of them.
Wow.
Mercury, lead, cadmium, arsenic, aluminum, manganese, and one other in high quantities.
And why only the left side of the brain?
For whatever reason, the craniotomy was on the right side. Don't ask me why. Left hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't find it in the right hemisphere. I found it in the left hemisphere when I went over one hemisphere or the other. I only found it in one hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
I normally use, and you've heard me talk about it, that I like to use metal-free as my basic primary chelating agent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the metal free didn't test for this patient.
Hmm.
It was not a good chelating agent.
Mm-hmm.
I tried zeolite, did not test. I tried SEAC, did not test.
Wow.
I tried EDTA, tested somewhat. I tried DMPS, tested absolutely the best.
Hmm.
So that's why I use the autonomic testing, because it tells me which remedy is the right remedy for the patient. If I put the patient on metal-free, I probably wouldn't get the results.
Mm-hmm.
If I put the patient on zeolite because somebody said zeolite works, it wouldn't get the results.
Mm-hmm.
It did not test on that patient. What we did is we went ahead and we gave the patient what we call a crown of thorns. A crown of thorns is in little small injections all around the brain on the outside, little skin bricks.
Mm-hmm.
And we use injections with local anesthetic, and mixed into that local anesthetic was some DMPS.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes through the skin into the autonomic nervous system, sucking in toward the brain.
Mm-hmm.
I also injected his scar that he had on the side of the head, because we inject all scars. And then I gave him an IV of local anesthetic, 10 cc's of procaine mixed in that, or actually it was 8 cc's of procaine and 2 cc's of DMPS. So he had a total of 5 cc's of DMPS, and he had the local anesthetic that I gave him, IV, and the local anesthetic around the brain.
Mm-hmm.
He went right into yin state in my office.
Wow.
Yin state, yang is excitation, mm-hmm. yin is total relaxation. Total relaxation from what we call a neural therapy treatment is hitting the bullseye. If you can throw the patient into yin state, you have discharged all of the interference fields that day on the patient. You can't do any more on him. You've already hit it out.
Hmm.
We collected a 24-hour urine on the patient, which is being sent out to the laboratory, and I have been in touch with the mother.
Mm-hmm.
This child hasn't gone one day without at least 2 seizures in 8 years. He had several days this week with virtually no seizure at all, maybe a little prodrome, without seizures. I'm almost not able to believe it myself.
Wow.
They were supposed to come in today, but he got a little virus, and he was a little too sick to drive over from the other side of the state, so they're going to come in next week. But I thought, I'm thinking this is amazing, because we got 8 years of a patient not, first of all, you take a child, it doesn't matter, they're 8 years old to 15, and they're growing up and they're seizing twice a day. They can't spend a good time learning, so their educational efforts are always curtailed. Their social graces are always curtailed. And yet, this child, this past weekend with Thanksgiving, socialized with people at his house like a normal child, mother said.
Hmm.
All that changed from one afternoon's treatment?
Well, it just goes to show you that the causes of these things are needing to be addressed and not the symptoms.
Absolutely. And here we have a situation where you find toxic heavy metals as the big etiological problem.
And how many people have actually got that? I mean, I see them all the time.
Many more than anybody wants to realize, but I'll tell you what. They don't have a deficiency of gabapentin. They don't have a deficiency of dilantin. They don't have a deficiency of any of the other depressants for the brain. They don't have a deficiency of Valium or any other things that create all these spasms or seizure disorders.
Mm-hmm.
They have a presence of toxic metals and toxic chemicals in the body. You also had pesticides on board. But the idea is, when you have one toxin in the body, call it one. When you have two toxic heavy metals, It's not 1 plus 1 is 2. It's 1 and 1 equals 3.
Mm-hmm.
When you have 3 toxic heavy metals, it's 9. It's a geometric progression.
Mm.
When you have 7, it's outrageous. It's outrageous. You can hardly imagine the level of toxicity that conveys to the patient.
Yeah, and unfortunately,
now, the question somebody has to ask is, well, how come a youngster of 8 years of age accumulated that much metal?
Yeah.
All right, so what do we have as an issue there? We have a genetic issue. We have an inability of the person's body to clear toxic substances on their own, as a result of which they accumulate them. Now, some people have stumbled around on this child over the past 8 years, saying, well, he's got some mercury in his hair analysis, but not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got one or two other things, but not a lot. When I talked to the group when you were there at the seminar, I said you have to understand how to read a test.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing a test doesn't give you an answer.
Right.
Understand how to interpret it, you may understand the whole disease.
Mm-hmm.
Hair analysis, hair in the body is an excretory organ.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's one of the ways that the body excretes substances or gets rid of substances out of the body. The hair will bind things that are circulating in the body at the moment that the hair follicle is being formed.
Mm-hmm.
And if the body's willing to give up these substances, then the hair will incorporate it, and it will take it out of the body.
Right, so it's really showing you what's been discarded. I think we might have a caller on. Do we have a caller on?
Go ahead. Let's talk to the caller.
How are you two doing?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Good, good. I just caught your show, and I wanted to call and say something pretty quick. I didn't really want to interrupt too much.
Okay, go right ahead.
You were talking about heavy metals. Tough topic. The best way to talk about it is to be positive and forget about why it exists and just try to let people understand why it's bad for them and leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing that I'm sure everybody knows about, but just in case I logged on to your show a little bit too late, or maybe you had already brought this up, but there is an esterized form of an amino acid called cysteine. It goes by N-acetylcysteine, or NAC. I'm sure you've heard of this.
Yep.
That does a fantastic job as a precursor to methionine for cleansing and binding, chelating toxic metals and heavy metals out of the body, as well as a numerous amount of other things that it does for cell regeneration. And I know that 600 mils a day of that has done wonders. I know it prevents outer hair cell damage from reactive oxygen species or free radicals attacking the outer hair cells. And if you take that every day, you won't lose your hearing for outer hair cell damage.
Mm-hmm.
And it does a lot of wonderful things. And I just wanted to call that in and bring that up. And I'm sure if you already know about it, you might be able to expand on that for your listeners. And I'll just kind of sit back now and listen. Okay?
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Sure.
Yeah,
okay,
I think we did talk about that the last time, but I don't think we mentioned it yet in this show, did we, Dr. Stein?
No, we haven't mentioned it, but N-acetylcysteine basically is one of the things that regenerates glutathione.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's more important, the aspect of the N-acetylcysteine is the glutathione going through the cytochrome P450 system in the liver. That's your detox system. It's not what what N-acetylcysteine does itself. I use N-acetylcysteine on almost everybody. My first choice, however, is alpha lipoic acid.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And I think that alpha lipoic acid is number one. N-acetylcysteine is there behind it. But in the neurotransmitter program that we use L-cysteine, not N-acetyl. That is the sulfur donor. That is the sulfur donor. N-acetylcysteine doesn't donate sulfur.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure where the information comes about the methionine, because methionine is a sulfur-bearing amino acid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar with where the gentleman's come with what he's saying, but I will accept whatever he says. But the reason N-acetylcysteine works is that it helps to cleanse the liver through the glutathione.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big issues there.
And, you know, the liver thing, let me just do a little quick aside here. One of the things that I wanted to do this month on the show is get people prepared for the massive overindulgence that happens during this season. And people toxify themselves constantly by eating incorrectly because, you know, it's the season and everybody's partying, everybody's having a good time, and they go through this massive stress that happens to the body because they're eating improperly. Maybe they're eating things that they're really allergic to, or they can't detox because their liver's not online completely with both of the phase one and phase two detox systems. And so I'd like you to kind of address the, you know, how we use neurotransmitters to help people just to feel better, you know, generally as they're going through this kind of self-poisoning that happens during the
crisis. Well, what you're basically talking here is the appetite suppression aspect of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I said that obesity was one of the diseases that are a neurotransmitter deficiency disease.
Mm-hmm.
And obesity is caused by an imbalance between your serotonin and your noradrenaline. That's where your appetite suppression comes in.
Mm-hmm.
The serotonin and the catecholamine group, which includes dopamine, noradrenaline, and adrenaline, are the master neurotransmitters in the body. They start off right in the brain, and they control all of the other neurotransmitters. It's absolutely important that we have a balance on these neurotransmitters. The serotonin on the one side and the catecholamine group on the other side have to be balanced in relationship to one another. You can't give somebody serotonin, nor can you give somebody dopamine, the main constituent of the catecholamine group. You can't give it to them as a substance or a supplement and expect it to get into the brain, because it doesn't. It will not cross the blood-brain barrier.
Mm-hmm.
The way that you try to get, the way that you balance these neurotransmitters is by giving the patient the precursors, the substances that will cross the blood-brain barrier getting into the brain, where the body can utilize the substance to make serotonin and make the dopamine in the proper amount necessary for the body to function. What are the precursors that we're talking about? We're talking about 5-hydroxytryptophan, and we're on the serotonin side, and we're talking about L-tyrosine and L-dopa on the catecholamine side.
Mm-hmm.
You have to balance it, because if you have too much of the 5-hydroxytryptophan coming in to boost the serotonin, it moves the whole equation over to serotonin alone, away from dopamine. If you have too much tyrosine and L-dopa coming in, you move the equation over from serotonin to dopamine side.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you move it? Because the thing that converts 5-hydroxytryptophan to serotonin is called the amino acid decarboxylase enzyme. The thing that controls tyrosine and Makuna, L-dopa to become dopamine is the amino acid decarboxylase enzyme. The same enzyme is used in the equation on both sides of the reaction.
Mm-hmm.
If you shift the whole balance into one direction away from the other, you unbalance the body further. By understanding if a person has these imbalances that create these disease states that I mentioned at the beginning of the hour, that the obesity, the anxiety, depression, panic attacks, I can go through the whole list again. But if you want to deal with all of those things, you have to balance those neurotransmitters. You balance them by giving the patient the proper precursors and bring them into a balanced level. That will control a person's appetite. That will control a person's mood. That will allow a person to sleep when they want to sleep and be awake during the day when they have to be awake. that controls the anxiety, depression, and panic attacks. That controls premenstrual syndrome and postmenopausal symptoms. That controls fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue and Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. Those symptoms that we talked about, those diseases go away when your neurotransmitters are balanced. But you have to balance them. A person can't do this on their own at home.
That begs the question, too. How do they get unbalanced in the first place? Do you think it has a lot to do with the processed foods we eat?
It's all the toxins. The toxins the toxins collect in the body in the areas where the organic cation transfer mechanism is working in the organ where the neurotransmitters are collecting and being transferred across from one spot to another, where they're being made and utilized in the organ of the body, in the brain, in the kidney, in the other parts of the body. If you collect these toxic substances there, they destroy the organic cation transfer mechanism. It becomes damaged.
Mm-hmm.
The poisons poison the system. Now the system can't work right because you can't get the neurotransmitters in the quantity that you have will not set up a balance. And now you get those disease symptoms. That's mm-hmm. recognizing you have it. You've got to clear out some of the toxins, but you have to increase the amount of your neurotransmitters so it can work through the damaged area.
Mm-hmm.
Overwhelm the damaged area and make the damaged area function as a normal functioning area. That's what happens.
So I'm thinking that we have a whole lot of people out there. Well, I know this for a fact, that there are a lot of listeners who have been to every kind of doctor out there who does not understand the stuff that you've just been talking about, and they have spent much time and much money and been given more poisons, actually, that are not helping them at all, when in fact they could probably get rid of a whole lot of these things pretty easily with some amino acids in the right balance.
Let me put something to you a little bit better than that, okay? You're 100% right.
Yeah.
But we have people taking antidepressant drugs like Paxil, Prozac, Effexor, Cymbalta, Lexapro, so-called serotonin reuptake inhibitors or other selective serotonin manipulators of some sort. None of those drugs make any more serotonin in the body.
Mm-hmm.
None of those drugs make any more dopamine in the body. Attention deficit disorder, kids are given Ritalin, Adderall. They don't make any more dopamine. They destroy the dopamine. They destroy the serotonin. They reduce the levels. That's why when you put people on the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, we have so many suicides that doctors are warned about, suicides after they put a patient on the antidepressant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you got it in the news out there, but a young boy was on his webpage for 12 hours last week or a week and a half ago down here in Florida, threatening to commit suicide, and all of these people listening to him thought he was joking, and he committed suicide right in front of his computer.
Mm-hmm.
The point of the matter is that the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, oh, here, let me give you the statistics. Placebo alone will give people 30 to 40% of people improvement in depression. Taking a sugar pill, placebo, 30 to 40% of people will feel better taking a placebo.
Mm-hmm.
40 to 47% of people will feel improvement taking a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor.
Yeah, not such good odds.
That's all the number is.
Mm-hmm.
100 patients take a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, 7% can expect a result better than placebo. 7 patients out of 100 can expect a result better than placebo taking one of those serotonin reuptake inhibitors. If I presented to you a cure, a treatment for something, and I could only give you 7% improvement over placebo, do you think anybody would take that?
No, not if they knew that that was
the
actual percentage. I can do better than that.
Well, the FDA knows that that's the percentage. That's the statistics. Why does the FDA approve these drugs?
Well, we know why.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with
why.
The efficacy of the drug. It has to do with,
Yeah, but
big
the fact
pharma.
Of the matter is that these are the people who are supposed to be watchdogs for us.
Yeah.
So much for the watchdog.
Yeah. Well,
but
you know...
This is what you have. Now, on the other hand, taking amino acids, our program, taking that program and using it for anxiety, depression, panic attacks, and things of that nature, we have better than 95% cures.
Oh, yeah, and it's amazing. And I'd like to point out that it's the balance of the amino acids that makes the big difference, too. And I got to tell you, I went on the program myself after I attended the seminar, and I thought, I'm pretty in tune with my body. I know how things feel, and I know what, what's working and what isn't. And I got to tell you, within 24 hours, I felt so much better, and it was not that it did anything that I noticed in my thinking or anything like that, because I'm kind of like the what me worry kid. Most of the time I don't get worried about, all kinds of stuff. I just kind of go through life and enjoy it. But I could feel a difference within my body. It was like my whole body just gave a big sigh. And I just felt
so much
better.
You gave it back some energy.
It did. It was just amazing.
That's exactly what happened. You gave it back an energy that it didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And when you gave it back that energy, and sometimes it can happen if just on level one, a person can be just that little bit off. And we've had patients on level one, and they turn almost immediately.
Yeah.
If they don't turn immediately, by 5 days is the maximum on that. We move them up to the next level. But I have seen that. I have a young girl in my practice, 29 years of age, started on the amino acid program. We gave her level one. We moved her up from level one to level two. She had gotten 80% improvement from level one. We went up to the next level. We're trying to titrate her into the right level.
Mm-hmm.
But she came back in, and after the second week, she comes back on the third week, and she says to us, "I just went through my period. This is the first time that I have had a period without a migraine headache and cramps and all sorts of other symptoms. I did not even know I had my period. Does this stuff work on your period?" And my assistant Michelle and I both sat there and laughed at her, smiled at her, and said, "You bet it does." She is so happy. She is so happy because we've taken a girl who would suffer every single month, 29 years of age, suffer every single month with the period, with the headaches. And she went through a period, didn't even know she had it.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
And asked the question, "Does this have anything to do with that?" Sure does. Oh, man, yeah. I don't want to be off of this anymore.
And, the thing that impresses me, too, about this, and the reason that I wanted to point this out on this show is because there are so many things that deplete the neurotransmitters in our brain and in the rest of the body. And I think that it was either you or Dr. Hinz that mentioned that 95% of the serotonin is actually in the gut.
Well, the serotonin in the gut is incredible. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's one of the big reasons why Crohn's disease is so bad and why these amino acids straighten Crohn's disease out.
Yeah, it makes perfectly good sense. And then if you start looking at the bad neurotransmitters that are put into the foods, the processed foods and things, and And then all the heavy metals and the pesticides.
Well, you're not talking about neurotransmitters in the food. You're talking about the excitotoxins and stuff like that.
Right, the excitotoxins.
That.
Sorry, that's what I meant.
Well, the excitotoxins are glutamate stimulators. And the irony of that whole thing is that the government allows things, and we better tell people what excitotoxins are. Those are aspartame, carrageenan, soy protein isolate,
MSG,
and things of that nature. When you have those, you have all of those so-called excitotoxins. Excitotoxins are substances that excite, they're excitatory neurotransmitters that hit onto a receptor site on a brain cell in the brain. They release calcium into the brain cell, they release enzymes into the brain cell, and the brain cell gets destroyed. And they've taken rat studies, and they have shown rats that were fed these excitotoxins, and there's holes in the brain. Now, what are those substances? The MSG, the hydrolyzed protein, the caseinate, the autolyzed yeast, the soy protein isolate, the carrageenan, and the aspartame are all flavor enhancers in the food.
Mm-hmm.
They're put in the food for no other reason than flavor enhancers.
Yeah, to make people addicted by more.
The FDA allows these poisons in the food, and the drug companies are trying to find blockers to the NMDA, we call it N-methyl D-aspartate receptor sites on the brain cells that are places where these excitotoxins attack and kill the cells. Wouldn't it be simpler if we just stopped putting that garbage in the food?
Yeah.
Instead
I would like it if they stopped
doing that. Trying to find something to stop it from doing its damage?
Mm-hmm.
But no, we're allowing the companies to put that garbage in the food so that people should get sick, so that now they need to take another medicine to try to block the stuff that shouldn't have been in the food to start with.
Exactly.
But this is our government, this is the food. So people have to be smart and they have to do what they're supposed to do to make sure that those things don't happen. That's what it is.
Well, exactly. And you know, I look around and I see so many people who are in such trouble, not just with the obesity, but I mean, I can tell you pretty much every woman that comes to me for insomnia is eating incorrectly, and as soon as I get them on a proper, you know, whole foods type of diet, then they start to sleep better, and they're shocked.
Well, that's you're talking about insomnia. Insomnia is obviously the food allergy, and especially IgG food allergy, is a big issue for that. But when somebody has a more chronic type of insomnia, it comes back to neurotransmitter deficiency, going through serotonin into melatonin and also going through the dopamine side of the equation into the cortisol. And that whole cycle of noradrenaline into cortisol and serotonin into melatonin is all screwed up. It's not working the way it's supposed to. When you put patients back on balanced nutrition and bring their amino acids into balance with bringing their neurotransmitter levels up, then they start to filter down into the right direction, and your serotonin becomes melatonin, and you can go to sleep at night. And your dopamine becomes a noradrenaline, and noradrenaline goes out to take care of the cortisol, and you can wake up in the morning. And it's amazing because the same thing that makes you happy allows you to sleep at night. The same thing that makes you happy allows you to watch your appetite, because you don't eat for the sake of replacing your unhappiness.
I like that.
People eat, and they never get satisfied from the eating. They don't find satisfaction, so they're eating the food because their body never became sated. They never got satisfaction. And is it gluttony? No. It's a lack of ability for the body to feed back to itself. That has had enough. And that comes through with the noradrenaline and serotonin. Same substances create all of these different conditions because all of them are tied together. We're happy when we have just enough food, we don't put on extra weight, we can get some sleep, we can wake up refreshed, we can rejuvenate our body. We don't need to weigh 600 pounds from eating and gorging.
Yeah, and no matter how much you eat, you're not going to replace the body with what you need. And
well,
this is one thing,
because your body can't metabolize anything at that point. That's why it's taking it
right.
in. It's never been able to find a way through it.
Well, yeah, and the thing, too, like I've had people say, well, you know, that stuff costs so much, and can't I just go to the health food store and buy it? And my point to them is, no, you can't. It would cost you well more to go and buy all these separate amino acids and try to figure out the balance than if you just bought the stuff that CHK Nutrition already has put together.
Well,
it's
more than that. It's much more than that.
Yeah.
You can buy 5-hydroxytryptophan in the health food store, 100 milligrams or 50 milligrams. Let's say you buy 50 milligrams of 5-hydroxytryptophan, 100 pills. You can buy them for $7 a bottle of 100.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy 5-hydroxytryptophan in the store, 50 milligrams, 100 pills for $35.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between the two?
Oh, that's a good question.
Okay, well, the difference between the two is the one for $7 might be 20% 5-hydroxytryptophan.
Mm-hmm.
Might be 20%. It might be 15%, it might be 25%, but I guarantee you it's not 99.9% pure 5-hydroxytryptophan.
Exactly.
And there is no way that you can titrate a patient on that variable.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't titrate.
Exactly.
So if you don't use what we have here and titrate it, you lose out on it. If you don't use what you have here, you're not going to have the issue. It's not going to work. That's the thing we're up to.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, I can tell, like I said, I'm very sensitive. And so when I take something, I know if it's working or not. And I can feel as it goes through the body and what it does. And so for me, it's very easy to tell if something's the real thing or not. And the stuff that you guys are using, I got to say, that is the real thing. And like I said, I noticed a difference in less than 24 hours. It was
There's no
just
question
amazing.
About it.
Yeah, no question about it. And Dr. Stein,
I'm
going to
do something for 1 second. Can you hold on 1 second?
Sure. Yep, I'm going to have Dr. Stein give his information so you guys can contact Dr. Stein and ask him any questions. And also, we're going to have Dr. Hinz on next week. And Dr. Hinz and Dr. Stein were the ones who gave the seminar I went to last month that was quite interesting on weight loss and neurotransmitters. And so, basically, I think that's a really good subject for December.
I'm back with you. I had to change phones here because my battery was dying.
Ah, no problem. Would you please
All
give
right.
out your contact information, Dr. Stein, so patients in your area can find you?
Yes, my office address is 4101 Northwest 4th Street, and it's in Plantation, Florida. And the telephone number is 954-581-8585. That's 954-581-8585. They could also find me through my website, www.proloshot, proloshot.com, or if somebody Googles Dr. Alvin Stein, Florida, they'll find me. It'll come up right away.
Mm-hmm.
If they find Alternative Pain, South Florida, they'll find me. It'll come up right away on Google. So lots of easy ways to find me down here in Florida. And I can welcome anybody to come visit me down here. We've been very blessed by having patients come to me from all across the country. And as a matter of fact, I guess the farthest patients that I've ever had come to me were from South Africa and India.
Wow.
And I've had patients that come to me from Europe and from the Virgin Islands and from Colombia and in South America. And I've had somebody from Argentina. and several from Panama, and then I've had the good old United States.
Wow, pretty good. Well, I'll tell you, you guys have really got something going on there with this amino acid therapy, and we've had a lot of comments on the fast chat here that people are pretty interested in it. And also, listeners, if you didn't get any of that stuff and you're listening live and not on the archives, just drop me a line and I will give you Dr. Stein's contact information and send any emails on to him if you're too lazy to look it up. We get
okay.
a few like that. And it's, oh, what was that guy's name and what was he talking about? And I get fractured sentences of subjects sometimes, but I do get emails out to people. So, and we are at the end of the hour, so thank you so much, Dr. Stein, for being on, and I know it's late there where you are. And,
13, I guess it's 12:15. Yeah, it's almost 12:10. I don't know what it is in the morning or the next morning.
Yeah,
but that's fine.
Morning.
I'm happy to be with you. I've enjoyed this very much.
Yeah, thank you so much, and all of us will be saying some prayers for Leona tonight and get her out of that hospital so you can actually get her well. Because you know,
thank you.
I hate
really
it when people
truly appreciate that. You
yeah.
have no idea, and Leona, I'm sure, will be most grateful to all of your prayers.
Well, you
thank
know,
you.
I having worked in the hospital for so many years, I can tell you the best thing you can do is get somebody out of the hospital.
Without question. Without question. And she cried to me today. She says, I want to get out of here in the worst way. And she's right.
Yeah.
She's absolutely right. But we have to get her out safely, and we'll be looking to do that as quickly as possible. But
yeah,
with everybody's prayers, I'm sure we'll be successful.
Absolutely. So, and we've got a hooray for Dr. Stein here. So that's pretty cool. They just love listening to you, so that's good. We'll have you on again. And
It'll be my pleasure to be back. I enjoyed it very much. I thank you.
You betcha. Thank you.
All right. Have a great holiday season to everybody, and for good health in the new year.
Absolutely. Same to you.
Thanks.
Okay.
Have a great night.
You bet.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay, listeners, thank you very much for tuning in, and please remember that our wonderful sponsor, Hydramay Skin Nutrition, is reasonable, wonderful, affordable skin nutrition. It's not just a skin lotion. And if you have any questions about it, drop me a line. I'd be happy to tell you all about it. I use it every day myself. And I'm very grateful for the support from Hydramay. And if you've had a chance to use it, you'll know what I'm talking about. And thank you so much for your prayers. Please do remember Leona tonight as you go to bed and just say a little prayer for her to get out of the hospital quickly with grace and ease and heal up very fast. And she's a real sweetheart and just a delight. So I know that Dr. Stein would feel much better with his wife at home and in a place where he can actually work on her with the natural remedies he knows would get her well quickly. So thank you so much for tuning in. Drop me a line if you have any questions about what we've been talking about tonight. And next week we have on Dr. Marty Hinz, who is the other part of the duo who were teaching me amino acid therapy. And we'll be continuing with the neurotransmitter therapy next week. So until then, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.
on your sleeve. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. And awaken, awaken, awaken the dream. Awaken, awaken, awaken the dream. Awaken, awaken, awaken the dream. Awaken, awaken, awaken the dream.
Do 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 do